Well, I really think we are kind of leading the nation in working to reduce stigma associated with behavioral health issues, all behavioral health issues. Mm-hmm. And I have to emphasize the resiliency of the force is just absolutely amazing. I mean, after 10 years of war with less than 1% of the population, the longest war we've ever fought, it's absolutely amazing, the resiliency of our force today. And we're doing a lot to try to increase that resiliency through programs such as Comprehensive Soldier Fitness. But there is no doubt that we have an issue with post-traumatic stress and traumatic brain injury. As I look at the total number of soldiers that we have who have a single disqualifying injury of 30% or greater, 66% of them have post-traumatic stress and traumatic brain injury, and that's a population of almost 10,000 folks. So this is a huge issue. These unseen wounds of war are, in fact, a real issue that we need to tackle.
When you talk about comprehensive soldier fitness, what's that? How is that defined?
Well, comprehensive soldier fitness is we know through evidence-based testing that we can increase the resiliency of individuals. Individuals can go into a bad situation and come out stronger for being in that bad situation as opposed to some that see something that is very, very disturbing and come out and it weaker or it bothers them more. We know we can train people to be more resilient.
So stop it before it starts.
It's really a move to the left of the boom, so to speak.
You can do that.
Well, you are going to, in fact, help an individual avoid protracting post-traumatic stress.
Uh-huh.
However, it's no guarantee that it will work in every single case.
I see. And traumatic brain injury also, I know the Department of Defense has been partnering with NIH, looking into the causes of and some resolution of things like traumatic brain injury. This isn't necessarily new TBI, but it definitely has increased in the past 10 years because of the way that we're fighting these wars.
Well, we put a spotlight on TBI because of the concussive injuries that our soldiers suffer from blasts.
Mm-hmm.
Either with overpressure or sudden acceleration of the head. We've all seen what the National Football League is doing when it comes to head-on-head collisions. That is a different form of concussion than what our soldiers experience downrange. But concussion is part of everyday life. It's part of high school sports with children whose brains don't fully mature until they're between 26 and 28 years of age. So any work that is done to help people with traumatic brain injury will be work that can be used not only for soldiers, but across civilian society.
It's interesting that you were talking about the different forms of concussion. That there is progress to actually be able to recognize that this type of concussion and that type of concussion, two completely different things.
Right, and we've got to study blast concussion. We know a lot about head-to-head. Head-to-object kinds of concussion, but we don't know a lot about the effects of blast.
Mm-hmm.
And we have deployed devices downrange to capture data from our soldiers who experience this so that we can bring that back, study it, and make sure that we use that in their medical treatment. And we are literally measuring the amount of overpressure that occurs and the acceleration that occurs in the head.
Now, are these the primary issues facing the fighting force when it comes to their health, or are there other bigger pressing issues?
Well, I don't know of any that are. They're all issues. It depends on where you fall in the scale. But a large portion of the force, like I said, 66% of my most seriously wounded soldiers have either traumatic brain injury or post-traumatic stress. So We don't often focus on the invisible wounds of war. We focus on those things we can see. And the problem is that the science of the brain is just not as advanced as we are in helping soldiers with mechanical injuries. You can go online, and I dare you to find a Google article that is critical of the way we are taking care of soldiers that have lost arms and legs or multiple limbs.
Mm-hmm.
You can't find it because we've made tremendous, tremendous moves forward in the technology of prosthesis. But you will find articles that are very critical of how we're handling soldiers with post-traumatic stress and traumatic brain injury, and I submit to you that's because we just don't know what to do in every single case. It's going to take research, a lot of research, and it's important that we move ahead with that.
We are talking with General Peter Corelli, the Vice Chief of Staff of the Army. And as we wrap it up here, what are some of the milestones that you see down the road? Where do things go from here when it comes to treating the soldier and the health of the soldier, the overall health of the warfighter?
Well, one of the problems you have with post-traumatic stress and traumatic brain injury is something that doctors call comorbidity. It is a sharing of symptoms. Because we cannot always diagnose whether somebody has had a concussion. There are no, at this particular time, biomarkers that are accepted that you can, in fact, take a sample of blood and tell whether somebody has had a concussion. Mm-hmm. But we think, through research that we're doing, we're about a year to a year and a half away from being able to issue a combat medic downrange, a device that would allow him, not unlike the kind of device that you would use for an individual who has it has diabetes and you want to check blood sugar, you will be able to use after an explosion, and it will be able to tell us within about 95% to 99% whether or not that individual has suffered a concussion. That would be huge. Mm. That would be huge not only for soldiers, but that would be huge for high school and college athletes who are playing football or girls that are playing girls soccer, where the most concussions take place is girls playing girls soccer. That's something that surprised me.
Wow.
So with that kind of move forward, with the ability to be able to understand that somebody has actually suffered a concussion, that would be huge in allowing us to treat. But the important thing to understand is that when soldiers seek help, we can help them. The issue that you originally brought up is the stigma. And if there's anything that I would ask people to do is to help us eliminate the stigma associated with seeking and getting help when you have these behavioral health issues.
Very briefly, is that stigma starting to fall away? Is it starting to dissolve?
I think we're making progress in the Army, but it will take an effort by all of us to totally eliminate it.